Welcome to Voice Hugs, a podcast on becoming your best self and embracing all seasons of life with open arms. It is your host, Viv and Ro. This might be one of the last times we use this intro.
Yeah, this is the last time.
Is it?
Oh no, one more episode.
Yes. Crazy to think that we are wrapping up season one, and also crazy to think that this is my first time interviewing Viv, like actually interviewing Viv on this podcast.
This is my first time ever being interviewed.
Oh my goodness, it's such an honor. Thank you so much for being on Voice Hugs.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yay. Okay. So if you guys tuned into last week's episode, it was a Viv on Ro. Mm-hmm. This week, it's going to be Ro on Viv. That sounds weird, but it's just Ro is going to be interviewing Viv, mm-hmm. asking her about what she went through throughout her life to get her to where she is today. Because I feel like before we move on to season two, before we start interviewing other people, wouldn't it be nice if we like were able to interview each other and share that part of us with every single one of you? Whether you're just tuning in today, whether you found us through season two and you want to know about the hosts, these two episodes are it. They're probably all you need to listen to.
Yeah, it'll give you a summary of the first 50 episodes, yes, of Voice Hugs.
Along, yeah, with who we are as people.
Yeah.
So a little context on Viv. I'm going to give context because I always find it weird when I go on a podcast and they're like, tell us a little bit about yourself. I'm like, what do you mean? What do I say? Where do I go?
My name is Vivian.
So Vivian is my best friend. Since college, we met each other when we're 19, just a little peewee. So we've known each other for over a decade.
Yeah.
And we've seen each other through all the different seasons in our lives. The good and the bad. There was a lot of bad. There was a lot of good too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, it ebbs and flows and it comes and goes. So of all of my friends, of all the people that I've met throughout my life, I'll say, Viv has been the one friend who I feel has not only stuck with me, but has also been so present and so supportive throughout literally every single season, mm-hmm. in my life over the years. And I feel very, very grateful for our friendship. And I think so much of what you went through, from your upbringing to things we experienced together in college, even things we experienced after college, even things we experienced even more recently with family, with just navigating life in general, all of that has contributed to creating this beautiful human that is you. And so I want to share your story, and like, I want you to be able to share your story with everyone to be able to help them understand how you're able to be such an amazing friend, such a great listener, and just an overall, I mean, I know you wouldn't say this about yourself, but you're actually a very grounding person in my life, like a grounding force. Mm-hmm. I think because of like the stability we've had throughout our lives. Anyway, okay, I've been talking way too much. Oh my God, that's 5 minutes. So Vivian, I think I've buttered you up enough.
Yes.
Can you tell us, before I ask the question, I need to give context to the question. This is my favorite question to ask anyone. Like if we meet in person, and I'm talking about any single one of you, if we meet in person and we sit down and we grab coffee, this is like, I'm going to ask this question because I really genuinely want to know. Tell me your life story. What made you into the person that you are today?
No pressure. Let me start by saying I knew this about myself, but I didn't realize I was going to feel it now. When people talk about me in a positive way, I just start like clamming up. Like I don't know how to react. So as you're like talking, I'm like, oh my God, is that me? Yeah. No, but thank you for the introduction. That was very sweet of you. Okay, so let's start with my life story.
Yeah, start however early as it is relevant. And I know for you, it's very early.
Very early, yes. I think that your childhood plays a huge role in shaping who you are today. And I think for me, when I think back to my childhood, there are so many things that happened that I think really impacted and like influenced who I've become. So to start, I am an only child. I was born in Southern California, and my parents divorced when I was 5. So I think that was the first huge like life event that happened, but it happened at such a young age that it was all I knew. I don't have memories of my parents being together at all. And to give some context to the separation, it was a very, very bad breakup. Like they cannot be in the same room. At that time, that was just what I thought was normal. When my parents got a divorce, I ended up living with my mom most of the time, and we moved into my grandma's house where there were 4 other adults there. So it was like my aunts, my uncle, and then their kids, 3 younger cousins. So even though I am an only child, because I grew up in a house with 9 other people, I think a lot of times when people meet me, they don't feel like I have only child syndrome. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
I'm actually like the big sister at home. So in a lot of ways, I grew up with a community, with a little, I was the oldest of 4, but that definitely shaped, added so much color to my childhood. Growing up with 10 people is not easy. I think it's very chaotic. And I think that with the circumstances of how my family came to the States too, which was because of the Vietnam War, I think that caused a lot of hardships that we had to go through as a family. But when I think about my childhood, what you know is what you know. And so for me, it felt very normal. It felt normal to share a room with my mom until I was like 13. It felt normal to be around your cousins all the time, to have all these adults in the family like do things together. But with any household that has so many personalities and people, it also meant that there was a lot of conflict. And so at a very young age, I was exposed to so many different personalities, and how my family dealt with conflict was very scary as a child. And so I think that shaped a lot of the fear that I had in me, where we needed to be good kids. We needed to do well in school. We needed to keep our voices to ourselves and not stir up any trouble. And so for the most part, when I was growing up, I was a really good kid. I was obedient.
Still are.
I was polite. I tried my best in school. Yeah, I think I was just very scared and operated from a place more of like wanting to make my parents proud, specifically my mom. She was someone that was a huge inspiration for me growing up, which is funny because we're going to talk about that a little later.
Yes.
Yeah. But as a kid, you know, your parents are the ones to, you rely on your parents for your survival. And so pleasing my mom was a huge part of my life up until my 20s.
When you talked about the adults in the family, would you say it's because they were like quote unquote loud in their ways, which made you kind of keep to yourself and wanting to not be as communicative or as loud on your own? As because I'm like, all kids are loud, you know?
I've talked to my cousins about this. There was no space for us to have big feelings because the adults' feelings came first. Mm-hmm. And so I think like, yes, they were actually loud when they were speaking, yeah. But they had so many big feelings of sometimes anger, sometimes rage, sometimes like really, really just big feelings, mm-hmm. that as a kid you saw that and you're like, oh, I can't even react. And so I think a lot of times when people meet me now, I actually get the word reserved a lot. It's really hard to read what I am feeling. I know my coworkers, when they met me, they were like, I swear you didn't like me for the first 6 months. And in my mind, I was like, wow, I love my coworkers. You know, it's very hard for me to express any feeling because it feels like a vulnerability.
Okay, so we're definitely going to come back to this. Just to, in keeping up with the timeline. So this was childhood.
Childhood, yes.
And then when you start school, elementary, middle, high school, were there any standout moments of, I don't know, like, did you start caring about your future? Did you know what you want to do? Did your parents want you to be a certain person, profession, whatever? And like, how did all of that kind of pan out?
I definitely followed the path that my mom laid out for me. Unique to me, my mom did not want me to become a doctor or, you know, any of the typical Asian occupations.
Doctor, lawyer, yeah, accountant.
Yeah. She wanted me to go to a good school. So in order to go to a good school, you need good grades. And she wanted me to find a very stable job. And what my parents knew as stable was like a government job. All of my parents like basically work for the government. And so for me, that was always in the back of my mind, graduate college and then find a stable job. But as a kid, I think all I wanted was to make mom happy. My struggle came in not really having that sense of self or identity. Because then you have this path, and I'm sure so many people can relate to this. You have this path that's set out for you. You know there's a lot of pressure on you because, well, for me, I was an only child. And because my parents were divorced, I felt like I was their source of pride and happiness. And that if my mom didn't have me, she had no one. If my dad didn't have me, he had no one. And so that pressure came in. But I think it was really hard to navigate at that time because I was so young and I didn't know. I didn't even know what I liked or any of that.
You didn't know what you liked?
I mean, I knew I loved singing, but like singing is not stable.
No.
All the things I liked were like arts and crafts. That is not what you consider stable. And so it wasn't even anything that I ever entertained. But what I did know that I liked was I loved working in groups, surprisingly. This was actually something that I learned in high school. My favorite class was ASB.
Oh, we got an ASB girly. ASB is student body.
Student body.
It's like your student body government.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what was really interesting to me about working in groups is actually the personalities and understanding that everyone has a different personality type and how do you navigate that so that you can ultimately achieve what you want. And I think that's something that has really been present in my life since then. Everywhere you go, interpersonal skills is so important, whether it is like physically getting a job done or developing a more intimate relationship with someone. I think the skills of being able to hold space and understand someone else makes a huge difference in just how you go about life.
This is very interesting because a little light bulb just went off in my head. Do you feel like because of the environment you grew up in, it made you more curious about group dynamics?
Yes.
And learning about people.
I just realized that's what I wrote my college essay about. Yeah, that's how I got into USC.
Wow.
I wrote about how on the outside looking in, my house is just a house. I was lucky enough to have a house. And it's not until you open the door and you look inside that you see the chaos. You see just how crazy everything is. And even though I feel like that was really hard as a kid to kind of not really have adults be mentors or like protectors in some way, I know they all tried their best. And that's something that I had to like learn and process later on. But the reality is the pain and the hurt that I felt as a kid was still there despite their intention to do their best. And so knowing that, you always want to make, at least for me, the best out of the situation that you have, right? There's no other option but to try to be grateful. And so I remember applying to colleges and at the time thinking like, I was like, what, 17? I was like, oh, my life sucks. You know, like I was like, my life is really hard. And I was like, but what did I learn from this? Mm-hmm. I'm about to leave this crazy home, you know? What did I learn from this? And I learned that there's 10 lives in this house. There's 10 different opinions. There's 10 different people who have completely different ideas of like what it means to be a good person, what it means to do anything in life. You just have 10 unique personalities, and that taught me so much about acceptance. That taught me so much about people come from different places, even if you physically live in the same house. Like,
and even if they're family.
Yeah, even if they're family. Everyone comes from their own place that makes sense to them. And I can go about hating everyone and saying, you're wrong, I'm right. Or I can just see it as, we're all different. And what do I want to get out of this? What can I learn from each person? And I think that actually is really crazy that you brought that up, because that's what I wrote in my college essay. Mm. That shaped who I am, and that's what I want to do. I want to like work in business, because I applied to be in business school.
This actually makes so much sense, and this has never come up in our conversations.
No.
And I think because of what you wrote your college admissions essays about, like, it actually makes sense why you're such an accepting, grounding person for other people, even if you may not think you're grounded yourself. But I think it makes total sense.
Yeah.
I think this like unconditional acceptance that you have for people, and you're always willing to hear people out, like, all of this makes sense now. Okay. Let's take a step back. Earlier you were talking about how when you were in high school, you like didn't think about anything that you wanted, or like you didn't maybe have the capacity. Do you feel like, when do you feel like that changed? Like, was it when you left the house? Was it when you got to college? Like, when did that shift start to happen, where you're like, oh, interesting, all I've wanted in life may have been external voices. What about the internal voice within?
So this happened very late. Okay, I say very late, but it's not very late, because I'm glad it happened when it happened. But this actually happened when I was 25 or 26. So maybe 5 or 6 years ago, after college, after you dabble in a few jobs. At first, when I started my career, I was like, no, I'm not going to listen to my mom. I'm going to do something different. But I was really scared, because then it felt like I really had to be successful.
Wait, but how did you go from I love my mom to I'm going to do something completely different?
That's a good question, because as much as I wanted to do things for my mom, I think you as a person, you know something doesn't feel right. I remember turning 18 and thinking, I was fighting with my mom about something, and I was thinking, your logic is actually not logical. As any 18-year-old would say to their mom. I truly...
yes.
I was like, that doesn't make sense. And that's not the only way. And there's so much more to what you're saying than what you're saying. And so when I started to have my own opinions, I think it was realizing like, hey, I still want to make mom happy, but wait, I don't actually agree with that, or that isn't the only way. I've seen something different. Mm-hmm. I've seen other people approach life differently. Then that's when I started asking myself, okay, hold on. What voice has been in my head? Who has been speaking to me this whole time? What do I feel is right for me? What feels right for me? So around 18 was when I started clashing with my mom a little bit. Even then, I honestly was still, like, I still went home every weekend in college. Like, I feel like I was still a good daughter.
You still are a great daughter, but yeah, I think at that time you're still a great daughter, even though, like, I think in your mind you may be like, oh, bad daughter because I'm not agreeing with mom. But overall, comparing yourself to other people in the world, you were a great, very filial
obedient.
Yeah. Obedient just sounds very intense. But anyways, the xiao shun of it all, like the filial piety of it all. Yeah.
Yeah.
So 18 was when it first started happening. Mm-hmm. And you were saying earlier, before I cut you off, when you like 25, 26 was when you realized you want to do something different.
I wanted to change my life. Mm. And when I say change my life, nothing externally really looked different. I think all of it came internally. And it actually started with a breakup.
Oh.
This is actually when I realized that there was a lot more to my story than I had ever imagined, ever even was aware of. Up until my second breakup, which was I was 25 or 26, I had lived a life thinking, this is the path, this is what I'm going to do, find a secure job, which I did. I landed the secure job my mom had wanted, find a boyfriend, good family.
Stable.
On paper, yeah, mm-hmm. On paper, stable.
Makes good money.
Makes good money. And then you're done. Have kids. That's the end of my life. Have kids. Yeah, that's it. And I got to that point, and me and my boyfriend at the time, not happy. We weren't happy. So we broke up. But this was my second breakup. And this was a wake-up call for me, because in my first breakup and my second breakup, I dealt with the breakup like in such a hard way. It impacted me in a way where I felt like I completely did not have a sense of self. I did not know who my friends were. I didn't know what my hobbies were. I didn't know how to spend my time. When I went through that second breakup, I realized I need to know me. Like, that was my truest wake-up call, in the sense that everything that I've done leading up to this point has been fine, has been great. But why do I feel so lost? Why did this breakup and the previous one cause so much, like, why is my identity so tied to this person? And I realized it was because my identity was tied to my mother, right? And so it's like, when you learn that your identity is tied to someone for your whole life, you move on to a relationship. This person becomes your identity. You lose them. Ah, who am I? Mm. Move on to the next boy.
Yeah.
This person becomes a part of my identity. So then when that happened, I was like, no, I'm going to be single. I need to find myself.
So when this happened, how did you go about, I guess, rediscovering yourself? Because you went from wanting to be a good daughter, you're still a great daughter, to realizing that your identity was external voices. And then you go through this breakup, realize, oh my God, who am I? What do I want out of life? How did you kind of like, what was your, how did you even know where to go from there?
So the reason why I bring up the first breakup is it had to be two. I truly think that, like, after my first breakup, because it's your first one, you don't know how to deal with it. And your first reaction to it is the reaction that you know. But because I went through a second breakup, and this breakup felt very cordial and respectful, but I felt the same exact way as my first breakup, where it was like completely just did not know what to do with my life. I was like, there's something wrong. Not wrong, but like, there's something here that I need to explore. And so that was when I realized, you know, I need to physically get out of the environment that I was in. I was living with my mom still at the time. I was living in a house with seven people.
After graduating, you moved back home.
House was still seven people. And now all the kids are adults. So now we have more personalities. And
seven adults.
Yes, there's... Yes. And so, yeah, I just remember, one, I need to physically change my environment. And I was just like, okay, I have enough savings. I can move out. And it was a temporary thing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to move on my own. And then I was exposed to spirituality that year. And I think it was realizing that there's more to life than these concrete accomplishments. Like, what am I going to do? Get a job, find a husband, become his wife, become a mom. And then, like,
that's it.
Like, that didn't make sense to me. There had to be something much more meaningful to my life. And I think finding spirituality, or just believing in something bigger than myself, being guided by truly wanting to be a good person, I think, however you define being a good person for yourself, that became my mission. I think for a long time it was, I want to be a good daughter, but that meant that I had to be someone that my mom wanted me to be. And then that changed to, I want to be a good person in general to everyone. But really, in hindsight, looking back now, what I truly wanted was, I want to be a good person for me. Mm-hmm. I need to love me and I need to find me. And so that was the first step. And then that was also the year I started therapy. So three things happened: moved out, found spirituality, found a therapist.
Wow. Ironclad. That's like the best care team you can ever ask for.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these three things. What were the next couple years like after that? Like, was it smooth sailing? Were you able to, quote unquote, find yourself through these three things and through spending time with yourself, living alone?
This is where the journey really began, and definitely not smooth sailing. It has been so hard. Kind of like when you decided, you know, I'm going to feel now.
Yeah.
You knew that the floodgates were going to be open.
Yeah.
I knew that there was so much hurt that I had bottled up inside for so long that this was going to be really hard. I think every part of me actually didn't want to get to know myself and to understand my childhood because, I don't know, I think similar to you, like using the word trauma feels some type of way. I think even for me, using the word depression feels some type of way because there's shame that's tied to it, even though I know that I shouldn't feel ashamed of what I'm feeling. But there was just so much that had happened that I had not processed. And I think I felt very lonely. So for the first time, I start seeing myself in a different light, talking to a therapist, slowly talking to friends about my reality. There's a lot of pain that comes with that. Because when you start feeling loved by someone else, you realize that that was what you were lacking this whole time. So it's part of this grieving process. Again, not to say that my parents don't love me. I think they love me to the best that they can. But it's like, once you feel someone notices you, you're like, whoa, I've never felt that before. Once you realize someone hears you and hears what you're saying, you're like, oh my gosh, I feel seen. And it made me realize that there was a lot of loneliness and sadness that I had to go through in the upcoming years in order to get to where I am now. But the most beautiful part about that whole experience is that you realize that you are feeling love now. You have a void in your life and you can start filling that void with the different relationships, with the fur baby, the dog, you know, with a community like this. And so in a lot of ways, it's been very hard and sad, but also very rewarding and beautiful because it can only go up from here. That's like what it feels like.
So would you say the thing that, you know how like we all have like that one moment where it makes us want to start doing something, was that the breakup?
Yeah.
And then following the breakup was when you started looking for, like you just started being more open.
Yeah.
Starting to want to make more decisions for yourself, wanting to move out, looking for these things. And then you also come to a point where you're like, okay, I'm here. It's uncomfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable for a while. But like, I'm here to write it out because like, I want to learn more about myself and like even sit with these uncomfortable feelings.
Something I just thought about and I want to share is something that I experienced in high school was attending a camp. And this camp was always very special to me. And I think for a long time, I didn't understand why. And I'll kind of tie this back later. So this is a camp for high schoolers. It's a leadership camp. You go for the week and then you come home feeling like super recharged, super inspired and really good. So the first year you're a delegate and then you can come back as a camp counselor. I did this for 5 years. So I was a camp counselor all throughout college. And then I was a delegate 1 year in high school. Anyways, this camp is so special to me because, and I didn't understand why, a huge theme is to make sure that everyone feels safe, accepted, feels like they can be themselves, and feels seen. Ways that we did this as a camp counselor is, for example, we would have lunch and dinner, breakfast, and as camp counselors, we had to sit with different kids each time. So you're told, you know, like, don't sit next to your friends, your cliques, like, get to know other people. And when you are attending camp as a delegate, you don't know anyone, right? And so part of your job as a camp counselor is to, like, make them feel welcomed and special. But what was unique about this experience was that every single attendee had a mailbox or like a little envelope where anyone can write you notes. And I remember when I attended camp, the first time I had lunch with one of the camp counselors, the next day I went to my mailbox and I looked at inside and there was a letter from the camp counselor. And she was like, I had such a nice time eating lunch with you. It was so lovely to learn this about you. And I was thinking, we talked for like 20 minutes and it was so unmemorable. And I've always felt so invisible, like just not having a voice or just being really quiet. And she took the time to write my name, find my mailbox, like even remember this fact about me. And so I came back every year wanting to create this experience for other people. And I bring this story up because I think at the time in my life when I was starting to rediscover who I was, feeling seen, feeling accepted, making sure that I was showing up as my most authentic self in relationships was really important, but also being able to create that for my friends. I think that following that breakup, I've been the best friend that I've ever been leading up until that point. I've been more true to myself than I've ever been. And it led us to here. Yeah, because that was just so important to me. I think because I didn't have that growing up, creating that for other people and wanting other people to not feel lonely as they go through their experience and to share that experience together is really meaningful. And it helps build like love and understanding.
So I'm sensing a theme here from your childhood to being in ASB, from writing your college admissions essay, to your joy in working in group settings because it allows you to understand people better, to even the role you have now, like your full-time job, that's also more or less what you're doing, helping people understand themselves so that they can work better in like a group environment as well. I mean, even with your camp, right? Like helping someone feel seen, helping someone feel special in this leadership camp. I actually feel like you're very capable and that you're a great leader, right? Do you think that about yourself?
Maybe. It's really hard for me to think like nice things about myself. And I think we talk about that a lot in Voice Hugs, right? I think because for a long time, the validation came from like an external voice, finding that voice within is hard. So of course, you know, when I talk to my friends and I'm there for them, I'm like, no, you totally got this. You are awesome just the way that you are. And for some reason, it's like so hard for me to feel that way about myself or think that about myself. But I think that is just part of where I currently am in like my journey. It's been maybe 5 years since I started therapy and like started rewriting this script in my head or rewriting the voice that I hear within to be more encouraging and be more supportive and to be more tender, right? The word that you used for your younger self. Yeah, I just realized that like my younger self just needs so much love and it still does. Yeah. And I know that in the future, I will probably be able to stand more proudly and be like, yeah, she's like a boss. She's like a leader. But I'm not fully there yet. And I think that's okay. I think that's part of just the reality of like where I am on my journey.
So much acceptance there as well. Wow. Acceptance all around. Okay. So as we're kind of talking about career, something interesting was brought up recently when we were in conversation with one of our friends at an event that we're at. And you're talking about how, you know, because you like your full-time job is very stable, there came a point in your mid to late 20s where you're maybe doubting yourself of, you know, do I want something this stable? I remember we'd have conversations about it. You're like, you know, wow, Ro, I'm realizing that I'm really valuing stability and safety and this is all I've known. And I wonder if there's more for me. And I'm there being like, yes, yes, there is. Like, I'm just, you know, like, yeah. I love dreaming. So I love encouraging people to dream. Like, what happened then? And then if you can even paint a picture of like previous to that, like, okay, let me rephrase that. What were your thoughts around career growing up? Was it important to you as an identity? And then what kind of happened during that time? And where are you now?
career was never important to me. So I was never like a career-oriented person. I remember even being in our business fraternity, everyone was so focused on getting that internship and the next thing and joining whatever corporation.
Big four.
Yeah, like a big name company. And I just honestly felt like I didn't belong because I didn't care. It was just never that important to me. I don't know why. Maybe because my mom never like grilled that in my head, that status wasn't something I valued. Making a certain amount of money wasn't something I valued. It was just stability. Don't get fired. And so in a lot of ways, my standards were like kind of low. But I think what ended up happening was I got the job that my mom wanted me to get. Very stable job. I'm pretty much set for life. Still am. And this was around the time that I started my self-discovery journey. I was like, huh, do I like this job? Actually, I hate this job. You know, like I hate this company or whatever. And this was also the time you started blowing up on YouTube. I remember vividly thinking like when you're in your mid-20s, around this time, everyone's still kind of on an everyone's still on an even playing field. You start to see the direction that people are going. And for me, I started asking myself, am I actually doing something that I want to be doing? Should I be chasing my dreams? What even are my dreams? What do I even like? And I think that was really hard because I didn't know what I liked. I'm also very risk averse, so I wasn't going to quit my job to try something new that I didn't know was going to work out or not. But a lot of it was also, I kind of just wanted like, oh, mom, you wanted me to do this? I'm going to quit.
So self-discovery turned rebellion.
I feel like I had my rebellious years much later. Usually you have it in high school. Later. Yeah, you have it in high school. I had it like in my mid-20s. I was like, no, not going to do this. I'm going to give you attitude. I feel so bad for my mom.
It's all part of our process.
Yeah, I'm our coming journey. Around now. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thankful now, though, because I realized that my personality, I actually do very much value stability and security, and it has given me the space and time that I needed to actually focus on myself. I've never been caught up in my career. I think a lot of our friends are defined by their career and are defined by the status that it brings or, you know, how much money it makes. But for me, because that wasn't important, it gave me the time and space to really focus on what was important to me, which was and still is to like help myself and to like love myself so that I can go out and do the same for others, so that I can be a better mom to my kids, so that I could be a better daughter when I come out of these feelings, you know, to my parents.
What did that transition look like though? Like, how did you get from I want to rebel to, this is pretty nice. I'm sorry, mom.
You know, I think actually like you helped a lot with that because I wanted to do something creative. I didn't really want to work for like a company, but being able to help on your YouTube channel gave me like this taste of it that I got to be exposed to a much more creative world. I got to see how your life panned out as well and share in that excitement with you. So even though I wasn't the YouTuber, it was still like, oh, this is so fun. I'm still doing a project that's like meaningful and special. And then I feel so lucky now that we're doing Voice Hugs because I realize like you don't have to make your career your thing. It could just be something that you do for fun, like Voice Hugs. Not that this is just for fun, but but you know, like you can find other ways to work on things that are meaningful to you. And I'm so happy that I have had a full-time job through the last 6 years to pay for my therapy, to pay for this stability or this peace of mind and be able to focus on other things.
I think that's I'm sure for a lot of our listeners, like a very comforting thing to hear, because even in our society, it's like, to be successful, you need to be an entrepreneur, you need to start your own business, you need to do all of these things, or like you need to have the status, you have to have the name brands, whether it's like companies or whatever, right? So I think even as a friend, hearing you say all of this, it's also reassuring to me to be like, oh, maybe I don't need more, or maybe I don't need all the things that I think I need, because we're all, it's like, what is telling us we need that, right? Is it our parents? Is it society? What is it? And so, yeah, I'm very grateful for you for sharing, and also proud of you for staying true to yourself. Cause I think that's hard. I think that's so hard, especially going to school for business, especially surrounding ourselves with the people that we were surrounding ourselves with. It's hard to not want what they want, right? It's hard to not to like feel small and down about yourself. So I think the fact that you stayed so true to yourself and you didn't let the external voices get to you as much.
I just realized I always knew that money, fame, status would never lead to happiness. Like I knew that from a young kid, even though I wanted to be famous as a kid. I wanted
How
to be
did
a singer.
You know? I'm curious.
I always knew that, like in the back of my mind. And so it's interesting now in hindsight, I think because I was so unhappy throughout my childhood and didn't know that I was unhappy, because I was so down that it got to a point in my life where I was like, no, I have to prioritize this other thing that I know will bring me happiness, which is being present, right? And it's kind of funny how you started the episode like that. It's how do I find peace, contentment now? How do you embrace what is? How do you accept yourself and love yourself? How do you accept other people and love other people? Because at the end of the day, nothing external is actually going to leave you with like true happiness that's like sustainable. Everything comes from within. And so when it starts from within, you really need to know what voice is in your head. You really need to know where that comes from. Where is your heart on the spectrum of love and hate, or like acceptance or not acceptance, judgment or non-judgment? And so the internal work that has become the most important thing to me, and has also made me want to like when you start feeling the love, you want to share the love.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have a lot of love inside that I'm afraid to show. It just goes back to being afraid to show any emotion and how scary it is to show like positive and negative emotions. But learning how impactful that can be and sharing that experience, I think, even just with friends, is what feels meaningful and like happy for me. Yeah, like being able to even have a conversation with someone about that and have them hear you and have you hear them is like, what else is there in life? I don't know. I feel like it's just about the people.
See, it's exactly what you said to me of how when you go through something, you don't have to share it with the world. You can just keep it to yourself. But I feel like the fact that you also want to share your newfound voice with our community, that also means a lot. And I know it means a lot to me. It means a lot to many of you out there listening to this episode of, you know, the outpour of emails and DMs that we've gotten over the years. So thank you for being you.
Thank you for loving me as I
am. I feel like this is a very full circle moment where growing up, you felt like you kind of had to dim your light and dim your voice. And over the years, through different experiences and through different realizations or breakups, you ended up finding more of yourself and discovering your voice through it all.
I think it's interesting the timing of when voice hugs came into our lives. And I know we talked in the last episode about how it was so relevant for you in your like content journey as well. And I think for me, voice hugs started 4 or 5 years after I started this journey. Enough time had passed for me to find my voice and actually using my voice and recording it and sharing out with everyone is so, like, what's the word? It's like a literal, I'm literally using my voice now out loud to the world, that is a reflection of like where I am now. I never, ever thought that I would do a podcast. I never thought that I would even speak my mind about anything except for like to my close friends. And so I think in a lot of ways, this is like the gratitude that I give to my younger self. And I share all of this because, similar to you, I wish she had the love and the support and the encouragement that I now know how to give to her. And I think there are a lot of people who can be in situations where they may not have that voice. And so if we are able to make even the slightest difference in giving that sense of hope, or like just that sense of you're not alone in your experience, I hope that hearing our conversations and hearing our journey and our story has helped inspire, or just like really just thank you for being here. If you're listening to this right now, our lives have met. Your life story has met up with our life story in this moment. And like, that is so freaking cool and bizarre and crazy, you know? And so like, just to remember that you're not alone. You have a voice. Your voice is the most important for yourself. Like, you know yourself the best, and to continue finding ways to, I don't know, love yourself, I guess. Aww. Yeah.
We love that.
We love that.
A heart around the potato again.
Yay.
So with that, if you could go back in time and tell younger Viv one thing, what would you tell her?
I would tell her that I would tell her that I got you. It's gonna be bad before it gets good, but I promise I got you. And oh god. I promise I got you, because I think I felt like I really had no one. And as much as I like care about people, it still kind of feels that way sometimes. And I think that's kind of what you shared too. I think it like, it starts with that. At the end of the day, when you go to sleep, the last voice you hear is your own voice. I'm gonna do my best to always take care of you and to always make sure that that voice is going to like guide you out of whatever hole you feel like you're stuck in.
That's so beautiful.
I hate crying.
You. And we got you, Viv. A real hug. Come on.
I hate crying.
We got you.
Thank you.
Aww. Wow. What an episode. What an episode.
So much love for our younger selves.
So, so, so much love.
Who knew? Who knew they needed this much love?
Yeah. And if you could say one thing to those who are listening before we wrap up the episode, what would you say?
I would say that you got you too.
Yeah.
We all got this, and we can do it. You know, like you can do it. You can get through it your hardest time, and you're never alone. Like you're really never alone. So do the thing that you need to do, whether it's books, whether it's listening to podcasts, whether it's anything, like whatever you feel like you need to do, do it, because I think you can only gain from experience, and you can look back and recalibrate and take the next step in the direction that will lead you closer to you and like loving yourself more.
So beautiful. And with that, thank you guys so much for listening to Voice Hugs. You can find us on Instagram and DM us at Voice Hugs Podcast. If you have any questions, concerns, ideas for us for season 2, questions you want to hear us ask our guests, you can email us hello@voicehugspodcast.com. And
sending everyone the biggest voice hug wherever you are in the world.
Voice hugs.
Voice hugs. Bye-bye.